It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace. First of all, I have to begin with apologies because we've not been able to do any, largely because of my health reasons. But my voice is recovering. I'm off the opiates. And even better than that, I've got Al in the studio with me.
Goodness me, what are we going to do? I'm looking outside our studio window and you know what? It's snowing. That means it must be close to Christmas.
It's getting very close to Christmas. And I grew up not liking Christmas, not really. I mean, as a kid, you could like the presents and stuff, but we didn't celebrate Christmas. It wasn't a big deal. We didn't even have church services. I mean, did you?
We didn't really bother much with church at Christmas. But what I do remember, long before being Christian or becoming Christian, was going out on Christmas Eve to the pub, getting absolutely blutered, but then having this deep desire to go to the watch night service at the cathedral in Dunblane. Yeah.
I mean, one thing about Christmas is it is a great opportunity. It's the one time of year, more than any other, where for most people, it's normal, at least, to be invited to church. And they don't take it so badly. And I think there's tremendous opportunity. So I actually love Christmas now. And I tell you, something I've really appreciated, and I noticed that you'd put it on the Solas Facebook page, was Glenn Scrivener. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Glenn Scrivener, yeah. Anglican evangelist minister from Bournemouth, somewhere down south anyway. Yeah. So it's down in the south coast.
But now, what's he done? He's got this thing called The Nativity, isn't it?
It's called Meet the Nativity. It's a short four-part mini-series. It's like a romantic comedy, but it's... But each one of the episodes is like a pre-evangelism. It's pulling on little threads where a lot of people have and seeing what unravels.
What shall I call him, my lord and lady?
Well, it's fine.
It's massive.
It's just home.
Have you got a butler?
No, I don't have a butler. Come in, give me.
Happy Grimbo, Mum and Dad.
Hi, I'm Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Will.
Merry
really
Christmas.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi, Dad.
Hi, I'm Will. Really.
Hi.
Hi. Long journey.
Well, I'm just going to finish making up the spare room for you, Will.
Oh, it's all right. I can. Yeah, that's fine. Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. I love it because it is that. A lot of Christian stuff you get is very twee, and for me, very in-house.
This is well done, though. This is incredibly professionally produced and
wonderfully acted. And yeah. By the time this goes out, the fourth will be out. But I'd highly recommend people to look at all four of these, mm-hmm. and we'll put a link to them. But let's come on to other matters. What's been going on in the world that you'd like us to discuss?
What's been going on in the world that I'd like to discuss? I'll tell you what, I'm gonna pick a topic that you really don't know much about or that you don't really pay much interest in. Let's even catch you out. What's that? Brexit.
Oh.
Tell us your views on Brexit.
Yeah, I don't have any views on Brexit. My views are balanced and right and just wonderful.
And everybody else is wrong.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Brexit, the thing that strikes me about Brexit is, and I still don't understand this, is the level of hysteria that people greet it with. It seems to be almost obsessive. Now, let me put it this way. The EU is cause of world peace. It's prosperity. It's progressive values.
Hallelujah.
It's everything that's great. Or the EU is demonic and the only thing that's holding us back. I find both extremes ridiculous. I find the first extreme, to be honest, one that certainly in the circles I read or move in seems to be more held. People regard you as a heretic or as a blasphemer if you're against the EU. Now, not discussing that particular issue, I think what I'm concerned with just now is the language and the vitriol that's being used. And I think it's indicative of what's going on in our culture that less and less, I heard the Archbishop of Canterbury on Radio 4 this morning saying that, you know, about evangelism and so on, that people were less inclined to be reasonable and to use reason. And it was all emotional and heart. I think that's the very reason we should use reason. I think we want to encourage people to be reasonable. But I think he's possibly correct, and I think that's certainly true in the political world, and that is a nightmare.
Yeah, but I've said this before. I mean, what you see in the Brexit debate is the role that this is where I go all Van Til on you, but it's the role that presuppositions play in your political view. So you see everything through the lens that you already believe. So you have one set of facts about the EU. And yet, if you're a Leaver or a Remainer, you see, you come to diametrically opposite conclusions about what those facts mean. And actually, it's not the facts that are different. The facts are the same. The difference is the lens that you're seeing those facts through. It's the assumptions that you bring that are so often not tested that actually you need to move the debate past the surface level and go and test the underlying assumptions behind that people never get to. That's, you're never going to get any real discussion unless you deal with the underlying assumptions behind it all.
Well, that took about 3 minutes before you got presuppositions in, but okay, listen. No, A, you're spot on. And B, let's add to that, because what makes it worse, presuppositions are always there, but what makes it worse in our culture is the internet. Because what people do is they box themselves in. So it's as though...
You're watching what you already believe.
Yes.
You're consuming, you're constantly reinforcing your existing beliefs.
You know, the way that Facebook or Amazon or whoever have these algorithms that, you know, design adverts for you, there's a sense in which that's happening in political and social terms. So I know people who only ever read things which they agree with. I mean, I'm reading a wonderful book just now called The Great Deception, which is about the EU. Now, whatever you think about it.
Who wrote it?
Brooker and Woods, I think. It's a phenomenal book. Historically, it's a phenomenal book. Now, it's full of information. The thing is, because of the title and because it's clearly anti-EU, I know people say, I can't read that. It's like pornography. It's like the Jehovah's Witnesses. If you want to get rid of the Jehovah's Witnesses, here's a wee clue for all you listeners. JWs turn up on your door. Well, they don't do that anymore, the railway station. Always carry around with you a little booklet that's a testimony of a former Jehovah's Witness. You know why? They're not allowed to read it because they regard it as spiritual pornography. Now, I think that that's what's happening in the Brexit debate. I think it's what's happening in so many things. It's profoundly worrying. It's profoundly discouraging. I also, from the Brexit debate point of view, I also think we are seeing a class thing. I think we're seeing the political class who are largely very, very much for the EU, and I think that we're seeing the plebs, who are probably the majority against, and I think if there's several things can happen, and none of them for me seem particularly good. I think it's likely that Brexit will be foiled, and in my view that will effectively be the end of democracy in our country. I think it's, if that doesn't happen, I think your other extreme is Britain being punished for Brexit by the globalized community, in that sense, by the business community. There is a slight possibility that at the end of the day, this is all bluff and smoke and guns and all the rest of it, smoke and thunder rather, and all the rest of it, because it may be that they'll just say, well, look, we're just going to have to trade. And in fact, the ideal scenario is the EU is going to go on and have its own army. It's going to have its own internal federalism.
A lot of the EU, the pro-EU positions assume that the EU is going to continue in its current state.
One of the key things that people are going to need to grasp is that the EU has never been about intergovernmental cooperation, and it's never been just a trading agreement. The aim has always been to have an ever closer union, and basically a United States of Europe. Now, the British don't accept that. The Poles probably don't accept it. But the Germans and the French and the Euro-federalists do. And with Britain gone, in a sense, that break is gone. One thing that will happen, I mean, on both sides, when we voted to leave, we voted for an uncertain future. If we voted to stay, we'd vote for an uncertain future. The only future that we really know is with Christ. There's only one who holds the future. What has been the issue of the year, and I think will continue to be, and that is, of course, transgender. Now, Just a couple of things that have happened over this past year. Number one, do you know what a TERF is?
Oh, no, I do. Trans exclusionary radical feminist or something. Revolutionary
Correct.
Feminist.
Radical feminist.
Radical feminist.
So you're not a TERF, are you?
I'm not a TERF.
No, you've got a beard.
No.
But I mean, I self-identify as a woman, you could be a TERF.
No. It's a demonizing term that's used by trans activists to attack feminists, anyone who...
To condemn feminists who think that being a woman is more than just declaring that you are a woman. And it's a very, very interesting development that that has occurred. Another interesting development that has occurred is that it is largely the conservative government in the United Kingdom that is pushing transgender more than anyone. Justin Greening, the minister involved for that, and Theresa May addressed Pink News and so on, and they are being lauded by Pink News and by the gay rights agenda, LGBT. Although, to be honest, I know quite a few gay people who are not over keen
Absolutely.
On the whole transgender thing.
Absolutely. You can't assume it's a monolith at all.
But no, it's not.
What do you make of the Scottish Government's consultation exercise into the whole issue of transgender?
No, the Scottish Government don't do consultations. The Scottish Government tell you what they're going to do. Then they do a consultation in which those who approve of what they're going to do respond, and then the consultation tells the Scottish Government that what it's going to do is perfect and wonderful and we're all for it. And then they publish the result of their consultation, which is that 90% of the people who responded said that they were for it. Right. It's the consultation is meaningless. The key issue is going to be in this coming year the attempted indoctrination of our children into the whole queer theory agenda.
Well, how's that going to happen? Are you talking about...
primary schools, primarily.
Right, okay.
Primary
so
schools
is,
and secondary schools.
We're moving into the realms of the time for inclusive education.
Yes, which is really a time for exclusive education, because under the guise of preventing bullying, it's designed to teach an ideology which tells children you can choose your own gender,
okay.
That gender is fluid.
Stopping bullying, fantastic idea. Nobody is against stopping bullying. Why is the focus just on one tiny little aspect of bullying? Because actually bullying is a much wider problem. Bullying just doesn't happen to
Bullying's a useful tool.
Identify as LGBT.
Yeah. Bullying's a useful tool. I mean, at one point I came out as a teenager, as a Christian, that is, and I got bullied for it. Now, is that right? I mean, everyone's going to say, no, it's not right. But I think that this is going to be an absolutely... key issue. Now, I do this thing, as many people will know, called Light Engaging Darkness, which I put up a blog on a Monday looking at some of the issues. And I've run a section for the past few weeks, so it couldn't get any madder. And every week, someone sends me something that shows it has got madder. Can I just give you my favorite of 2017?
You go for it.
A reading list for primary school children. A mother has complained that Sleeping Beauty should be banned from primary school kids hearing about it because it promotes inappropriate sexual behavior, kissing a woman while she's asleep.
Okay.
She's not given consent, you see, and you have to have lessons in Sorry. Okay, for me...
There's plenty of reasons to object to anything from Disney, but I mean, no. That's,
yeah. On the other side of that, there are books going around just now. For example, there's one... a short novel called Gracefully Grayson, about Grayson, who is a girl on the inside stuck in the wrong gender's body. And then there's Jamie, a transgender Cinderella story. Now, these things are being sent by a charity called Educate and Celebrate. Educate and Celebrate is funded by the government. And there you've got the cycle again. You've got the virtuous cycle of the elites sending money to, inverted commas, charities who tell the government that what they're doing is wonderful. That's the UK government this time. So,
how many characteristics are protected under UK discrimination laws in Scotland? You've got what?
Sexuality, religion. Gender, disability, religion. I think there's about to be another one. You know, well, I mean, we're back to the whole area there. We're coming into the area of hate crime.
I can't help wondering. It'd be interesting to do a wee survey just to compare the level of government funding into these different protected characteristic groups and the level of state support that goes into each one, wouldn't it?
That would be an absolutely fascinating thing, because we're just looking at priorities. I mean, that's the way things are going. Let's shift on maybe to a couple other things just before we finish.
The reason we don't want to see darkness in machines. because it's in the creators, we must also see darkness in ourselves. That's not something the human race is prepared to admit.
One of the key issues in the coming year is going to be the use of robotics, the increased use of robotics, and the implications of that. And again, at a spiritual level, people who are saying that machines could eventually become humans or replace humans. And that's an underlying thing that amongst the kind of intelligentsia is being discussed.
Well, you see that. You can see that every time you go to the supermarket, in the fact that there's now hardly any checkout operators, and you now have these, you know, scan and shop, where you have these self-service checkouts. So that's on a practical daily level, that's getting rid of people's jobs.
Yeah, and then also there's the driverless cars, and that's all going to come and so on. But let's just do a couple of things about Solus. Now, Al, you've been working on the website. Want to tell us about that?
In the new year, we are going to be launching a brand new version of it, and it's just going to make it much easier to access all the different types of content that we produce. So look out for that come the new year. And another thing to look out for is actually the latest issue number 10 of Solus magazine. Have you seen it yet?
I have. I've actually just seen it just now. It's a new glossy cover. The articles
are super... It's not just glossy. It's super glossy.
It's super glossy. Well, it's super glossy. And it's even better. It's got a chess set on the cover.
Well, it's hitting all your favourite notes. Right?
Hitting all my favourite notes. Absolutely brilliant. I do want those of you who are listening to make a plea for this. We're looking at how we continue the Solus magazine. And we do need external funding for it, because we've designed it as a high-quality magazine with limited advertising. And we want to continue that. And if you'd like to support us, then please do get in touch and let us know.
Yeah, you don't want to. One thing that we don't want to do is go down the route of a number of other Christian magazines where it's just more adverts than content.
We'll close rather than do that. We've set it up in a particular way, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I mean, I think it's a brilliant magazine. I absolutely love it. Also, you can give us, if you've got any ideas for this Quantum of Solace, and then one of the things that we've done in the past year that has just been absolutely fabulous in terms of uptake have been the video shorts, and Al and Andy have largely been responsible for that, which is tremendous. This coming year, we're planning conferences and still doing the same outreach, the media work. That's been great to be involved in the secular media. Anything else? As the snow is falling all around us, and we look out
over the Christmas
trees. Oh, I've got to play some Christmas
music now, don't I?
Yeah, snow is falling all around us. Merry Christmas. I was actually, just as I was coming here,
that would cost far too much in royalties.
I was in a McDonald's celebrating my recovery enough that I'm able to eat a McDonald's breakfast. So I did have a McDonald's breakfast on my way here. And I could not believe the music. It's going to be lonely this Christmas, I think, by Mud. Except it wasn't Mud. It was this country singer. It was so miserable. We were all going to be slitting our wrists by the time we got out of that place. I loved it because it was so antithetical to the kind of, oh, let's all be jolly because it's Christmas. I just thought, let's be miserable because it's Christmas. It just sounded great. No, we don't wish you misery. We wish you a great Christmas and a great new year. And I shall be returning with the regular Quantum of Solace podcast in the new year. So look forward to seeing you then. God bless you. Bye.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, but makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in this society, hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.